Welcome to Golf Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes along with Braxton Hunter. Braxton, instructor at Fairways and Greens. He's a former winner of the Tennessee or the TGA Player of the Year and Instructor of the Year. My goodness, Braxton, we've got so much to talk about. The Visit Knoxville Open coming up. We got qualifying today. We got a couple of Vols that shot 63 to get into the qualifying field. And we will try to get you those results later because we got a huge playoff. We've got the PGA Championship. The two names that come to mind, Brooks Koepka, Michael Block. What an unbelievable performance by a PGA pro who won $288,000. He gets $150 for a one-hour lesson. He's only got two or three students.
You wouldn't have said his name at the beginning of the week, would you, Jimmy?
Nope. He was not among my favorites. And he got an invitation, a sponsor's exemption to the Colonial this weekend in Fort Worth.
Yeah. I'll just cut in for a second because it's one of the best stories of the year in golf for sure. And mm-hmm. I mean, frankly, maybe the last couple of years, and it's proof that the underdog story kind of wins in sports, and it kind of makes you think about what LIV and what the PGA Tour has also done with some of the elevated events, almost we'll say not having those stories as much. And there was a lot of talk going into the PGA Championship of, there's 20 club pros in the field. They're just, you know, it waters down the field. They're all going to finish at the end. And what a great story for him to come in 15th and, you know, have the hole in one on 15 on Sunday and just kind of the fanhood that he's gotten from really all over the world. It's kind of cool. I mean, all these tournaments are giving sponsors exemptions to him. So cool.
He hit a shot that nobody else in the field could hit, and that was the hole-in-one. He was the only guy that made a hole-in-one that day on that particular hole and in the final round. I don't know if there's any other hole-in-one in the tournament.
I don't believe okay. So, Jimmy. I don't remember.
And yeah. I don't know if you'll agree with me with this, but I bet you that half the field could not have got up and down on 18 from where he was.
Oh, no. And, well, I mean, also think about the moment in itself and what that meant. He didn't know that he had to get up and down to qualify for the PGA Championship next year, but that was the reality of the situation. And he made a semi-miraculous up and down, frankly. Oh. I mean, from where he was to the short-sided pin. And then not to mention having a downhill left or right putt that, you know, just kind of wiggles over the edge and just capped off a dream week. And it hits extra special for me being a PGA professional myself. I mean, just kind of all the hard work that goes in to our profession and him having a membership that is supportive of him playing. And, you know, they showed the kind of his club, like the watch party for his club was incredible. I mean, it was unbelievable how many people were there kind of, you know, cheering him on. And then to finish, you know, obviously he's not winning the golf tournament, but to finish 15th and to shoot three rounds at even par and then one round at one over, unbelievable week.
So next year, people will remember the PGA for Brooks Koepka winning it and for Michael Block's story for what he did.
Absolutely. No question.
What a great performance that was. So, and on the PGA, they've been doing these on-course interviews with some players. It's the second time I've seen Scott Stallings involved. He gave a nice shout-out to Holston Hills Country Club, didn't he?
He did. And, you know, Oak Hill up there in Rochester is a Donald Ross course, mm-hmm. as is Holston Hills. So, he saw a lot of Holston Hills, kind of the positioning of the bunkers and some of the just look of the golf course that Donald Ross has, you know, his thumbprint on some of the best golf courses in the country. And it's cool to get that local shout out. And, you know, obviously it hits home to both of us, Jimmy. I mean, I grew up out at Holston Hills and you live out there and play out there yourself. So it's kind of it kind of hit home to hear that. And I think it's crazy. You think that whole segment where they interview the player while they're playing their round would be distracting. And, you know, it was kind of I won't say shunned upon right at first, but it seems like everybody that's done it has either birdied the hole they're playing or had a good run after they've done it. Yeah. And that was just, you know, a cool thing to see him on there. And then they obviously did it with Michael Block on Saturday, and he made birdie right after they talked to him. So that was kind of cool too.
The Knoxville community, in my opinion, is lucky to have Scott Stallings and Peter Malnati on the PGA Tour, because not only are they great players, they are great individuals.
Yeah, and great ambassadors for not only our area, but yep. the game of golf, the state of Tennessee, and we're definitely blessed to have all of them here in our town.
Hopefully we'll see Wes Roach getting back on the tour, as he's had some injury issues that have come up. But, gosh, we've got so much to touch on, so I'm going to kind of rip through some of this and talk about some of the qualifying at the Corn Ferry Tour, the Visit Knoxville Open. We will tell you that our local news and notes brought to you by Three Ridges. Three Ridges is set in the shadows of the Great Smoky Mountains. It is one of Knoxville's premier public golf facilities. It challenges all ages and levels. You can visit knoxcounty.org to find out more. And it was also the site of one of the qualifying venues for the Knoxville Open. And at Three Ridges, local product, Jake Hall, Tennessee golfer, shooting a 63. He's in it. He is in the Knoxville Open. Based on that performance, there were four spots for 140 players, I was told, and he's one of them. Now, there are eight players at 65. That's pretty remarkable. And those eight have to go into a playoff, and there are only three spots available. So, Will Nottingham, Sud Yamamaja, Mac Murphy, Billy Tom Sargent, Greg Edwards, Ryan Hall from Knoxville, Wes Holman, S.M. Lee, shot 65. So we'll try to get you those results later. At Oak Ridge Country Club, another Vol player, Caleb Surratt, shot 63. He told me that he shot 66 a year ago in the qualifying at Oak Ridge Country Club. That didn't get him in.
Yeah, that would have missed by two, I believe. I think 64 got in, excuse me, clean last year. I don't believe they even had a playoff at 64. But it's looking right now like 64 has a chance to get in clean. There's a couple of groups still out on the out on the golf course finishing up there. Actually, one group remaining to finish up their round to see if there'll be a playoff or if those three that are tied for second get in clean.
At 64, Will Dixon, Dylan Meyer from Atlanta, Connor Polander from Evansville, Indiana. But what about this? Caleb Surratt and Jake Hall, Tennessee golfer, shooting 63 in the qualifying. That's pretty impressive.
Very impressive, yep. Jimmy.
Spencer Cross is in the field. You got Wes Roach, a local player, in the field. I was told David, and I looked at the list, David Skins is not playing here. I'm surprised at that.
Yeah, that surprises me as well. I don't know. I need to look at the field for Colonial, if he maybe snuck in the field for Colonial or not. I'll look that up during one of our breaks.
Yeah, so all right, so that's the qualifying. The Visit Knoxville Open, they had a pro-am today. And then they will have another pro-am on Wednesday. The tournament starts on Thursday. Braxton, I'll tell you this. I was out at Holston Hills at least a couple of weeks ago playing, and I thought, boy, I'm just not really sure what kind of shape this course is going to be in. Gosh, it looks really good.
Well, and I'll say this, Jimmy. I played the qualifier today at Three Ridges, and just the 2 weeks that we from when we played our 2-day pro-am at Three Ridges to today, it was completely different. Like, it was in phenomenal shape today versus, you know, it was just not, the grass wasn't in. And same thing for Holston or anybody that has Bermuda right now. There was that kind of cold snap we had a few weeks back that kind of put the, we'll say, grass in not the best condition for this time of year, but those warm nights we've been having, it's popped out really well, and I think it'll be perfect for the Knoxville Open this week.
You got some rough out there at Holston Hills too.
Yeah.
And in a couple more days, as it grows a little bit more, that can add to the challenge.
Not as much as they would like. I mean, the perfect, we'll say, scenario would be the firmness on the fairways they could have this time of year with the firmness and the greens and the rough you could have in August or September. But it's just one of those things, Jimmy. I don't think, unless they overseed and kind of put a different grass in the rough, I don't think there's going to be just a ton of rough ever this time of year at Holston.
Yep. By the way, with Surratt, he told me that he had played Oak Ridge once. That was a year ago when he shot a 66. He also caddied out there within the last couple of weeks in a senior event. And he said he thought caddying out there helped him a little bit.
Yeah, and I think seeing it from a different perspective, I'm not sure who he caddied for in the senior qualifier, but to see it from not playing, I think it can help your strategy a little bit on the golf course. And obviously it helped him today, no question about that.
All right, Tennessee did not fare so well in the NCAA regional in Auburn. Quite frankly, a bit disappointing. They didn't advance. They placed eighth, top five advance. They shot a plus 25. That was 15 shots off of a top five.
Yeah, and we talked about that a little bit a couple of weeks ago, Jimmy, and it's almost like the regional final in basketball. Like, it's one of those that's a tough hump to get over. There's great teams, and only a handful of teams advance to the nationals, and you know, obviously they're disappointed and wish they were going to be taking part in the national championship, but still a great season for the team, and I think the future's extremely bright, no question.
Tennessee won three team titles this year. They were low stroke play in the SEC tournament. They had four individual titles. Caleb Surratt had a top 10 finish for Tennessee in that region. He also had his seventh top 10 of the year, and he set a Tennessee record with 27 rounds of par better. Nobody else for Tennessee was in the top 25, and this makes it tough. Tennessee had to count scores on day one, 78, and day two, a 76, day three, a 76. You can't count scores that high to have a chance to advance, and that hurt a little bit. All right, a couple other notes. The Folds of Honor being played today at Tennessee National. That's a nonprofit that provides scholarship money for spouses and children of military members and first responders. FCA tournament at Foxton Country Club today. I had a chance to play in it. Course is in great condition. It's a great cause, the FCA. They have a morning and afternoon tee times, and they raise about $100,000, so good for them. We got the Tennessee Senior State Open coming up June 13 and 14 in Crossville. The Knox County Amateur June 10 and 11 at Three Ridges. And the Knoxville Pro-Am Series at Green Meadows, the pro was Wesley Jones at 70. The team of Jones, Mark Lewis, who shot 70, Mike Bolden, 73, Leonard Sterling, an 89, that was the winning team. And the low scores, there were a couple of 68s by the amateurs, Ricky Moore and Bo Ryder. Bolden shot 70 at 71, Olin Rutherford, Paul Rothery. The city of Crossville, they only played 18 holes due to weather. The winning team was Chris Dibble, Joey Batula, Jeff and Steve Gallier, 15 under par. They had an eagle on number 8, which certainly helped. They birdied all four of the par 5s. Cochran, Bergen, Wheeler, and Graham were at 14 under. They played the par 5s in 6 under. They had two eagles along the way. Braxton, your team with Tanner Davis, Scott Moran, and what's man's
name? Ken Mann.
Ken Mann was 11 under par. The medalists, Allie Knight with a 67, Ryan Botts, Mike Vance, Bobby Cochran with 69. And then Braxton tied for 8th with a 71. Beaverbrook Invitational. Josh Collins gets the win. We're going to interview him in a few minutes. He shot 2 under par, 69-69. Cody Johnson was at 1 under par. He finished 2nd, along with Will Collins. They tied for 2nd at 1 under. Brandon Gibson shot even. And when they left the 16th tee, there was a 4-way tie for 1st place. It was really close. But we'll get into more detail about Josh's win and also what it means to him, because he's trying to knock off various tournaments in this area that he's won, and there's one more out there that he's going to be gunning for. So we'll talk a little bit more about that when he joins us as he attempts to kind of hit the cycle in this area. The one that he's got to win now, he said, is the City Amateur at Whittle Springs. So that's next on his list as he has won several others. Again, we'll get to that a little bit later and talk about that. Also, I'll get national news and notes a little bit later, but I thought it was interesting that Phil Mickelson has 100th made cut in a major. He ties Jack Nicklaus and Raymond Floyd with 100 cuts made. And he also got a ruling that he almost screwed up on a situation, and we'll get into more detail about that, where a rules official kept him from being assessed a 2-stroke penalty, in which case he'd have missed the cut. As it turned out, he was able to make the cut thanks to a rules official and get that done. And by the way, Grayson Murray, who won the Corn Ferry event in Kansas City, who was his caddy? Kip Henley.
Yeah, and it's funny. We were actually at Tansy. Kip played at Tansy Monday and Tuesday, And I was asking him, I had a chance to talk to him for a minute, and I was asking him, hey, are you caddying for anybody, you know, the next few weeks? What's it looking like? He's like, yeah, I'm actually driving Tuesday night to go caddy for Grayson Murray. He got the call kind of late Monday, and he needed a caddy, and they ended up winning. So I texted him last night. I was like, from Tansy to a winner again on tour, that's a pretty good week right there. So it was pretty cool.
And he's going to caddy for him again at the Knoxville.
At Knoxville. Yep.
So how about that? We need to get Kip Henley on again, too. It's been a while since we've had him. We look forward to him joining us. All right, when we come back, we're going to have the winner of the Beaver Brook Invitational, and that is Josh Collins. And we'll talk to him about his win and about a goal that he has now set after getting that victory at Beaver Brook. With Braxton Hunter, I'm Jimmy Himes. You're listening to Golf Talk.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville?
Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Sent me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Welcome back to Golf Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes, along with Braxton Hunter, and we're pleased now to be joined by Josh Collins. Josh is the winner of the Beaver Brook Country Club Invitational that was held over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Josh, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you all?
We're doing very well. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and I know that this was an important win for you because you're a member at Beaver Brook. You've played in this tournament maybe 10 or 12 times. You've had a number of runner-up finishes, but this was your first win there. What did that mean to you?
It meant a lot. I've been trying to win that one for a while now, and I've came close a few times, but never could get it done. And then it's just nice to have it on the countertop now at the house. So
you wanted it 2 under par. And some might think at Beaver Brook, well, you might be able to shoot lower than that at Beaver Brook, but they can have some pretty challenging and tricky pin placements, can't they?
They can, yeah. Kevin does a good job of speeding the greens up and then always tucking the pins in places that we actually usually never see them. And then so it tends, in your mind, you're thinking, oh, you gotta go low, and it's kind of mentally draining because you'll randomly be playing a easy par four and you walk off the hole with a bogey or a double and you're wondering what in the world just happened.
Jimmy had mentioned earlier it was pretty tight kind of down the stretch there with four of you tied for the lead with a couple of holes left. Kind of take us through the last few holes and kind of how you ended up getting the victory.
Yeah, so I actually took the lead on six, and then I fell back. I made a double on seven, then a few bogeys on 9 and 10, and then kind of just played my game and see what happens and just stay steady. And then when I birdied 14 and 15 to kind of get back into the lead, and then Cody Johnson made a great putt on 16 to tie the lead as well. And I think at that point it was a four-way tie, and then so had to do something. And then we just went to 17, hit it on the green, and lucky enough to make a putt and kind of hold on from there.
You know, I think it's one of the tournaments that the scores always are a little bit higher than you would expect it to be at that certain course. Just kind of take us through the course setup and, you know, the firmness, fastness of the greens, kind of how they have a really good way of tucking the pins and making it kind of difficult. Just kind of give us your insight on that part.
Yeah. This year with all the rain, so I don't think Kevin was able to get the course as firm and hard as he usually likes it. So I think he, to combat that, he put the pins in even tighter spots. So, and then of course, obviously every fairway's tree lined and stuff like that. So if you get off the, if you hit every single fairway, I mean, you can eat it up. But if you, get just a little bit off the fairway and get behind a tree before you know it, you're chipping out and you're trying to get up and down for pars and trying to battle that way, and that can be hard.
I guess Josh Collins, winner of the Beaverbrook Invitational. Josh, I do want to go back to the way the tournament ended. You took that one-shot lead with the birdie on 17. You go to 18. You got about a 12- to 15-foot birdie putt, and then Cody Johnson's got about a 10-footer for birdie. Are you thinking, I need to make here? Are you thinking, I'll take the two-putt and see if he can make that 10-footer?
Well, I'm thinking he has a good chance of making it. He's a great player, but also I don't want to be crazy and run it by and have a 4 or 5 footer. It's been a few years since I won one, so nerves are kind of kicking back in. So I was basically lagging. If it went in, great. If it didn't, then I was just going to ensure me a playoff. Just to be honest with you, and what makes the Beaverbrook so great is just how all the members and everybody just embraces it. So when everybody's done, before you know, when we're on 15 or 16, you got 20, 25 carts of people following us around, and it's kind of around 18 green, you got like an amphitheater where everybody's kind of standing up top looking down on the green, and man, it's just a lot of fun.
So you were nervous as a what?
No, I mean, I was nervous because it's been a few years since I was able to win a tournament, but
I heard somebody cat.
But I don't know what I said, to be honest with you.
Well, now you've got in your pocket, you've got the Knox County Amateur, you got the Greater Knoxville Amateur, you got Green Meadows, Beaverbrook, and now that next goal is the City Amateur at Woodland Springs, right?
It is, yeah. Now the downside, I think Braxton's got that one a few times, but the downside is I'm not the greatest chipper in the world, so that's going to cause a big flaw to be exposed. So I'm going to have to sharpen that up. I told Jay Wise I might have to make a return back there this year.
I might know somebody that can help you with your chipping a little bit there, bud.
That's true. But, that's true.
to go back just a little bit to just the atmosphere of Beaverbrook, you know, that was I was fortunate enough to win that tournament, and I believe it was 2005, and that's a memory that'll stick with me forever, and just how that club embraces that tournament, the carts out there. Like, I just think that just adds an element to the coolness of that Invitational, and you know, just expand on that a little bit for just the people that don't get to necessarily experience that they're on their own.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of unique because they're the membership. If anybody knows Beaverbrook, everybody knows that those members out there. I think a lot. I mean, it's a great club. It's a wonderful club. Might not be the greatest layout in the world, but the members there love that place so much. It's incredible. And then how they embrace the tournament, the guests, and they treat everybody well. It's awesome. And then just to have all those carts that follow you along and they're cheering and hollering and whatever the case may be as shots go in, it just makes it, whether you win or lose, it just makes it a lot of fun.
Josh, what's your calendar look like? What other events are you going to be playing as we head into the summer?
Yeah, we got the GKA here at the first weekend of June. The following weekend will be the Knox County Amateur at Three Ridges. And then after that, I guess I might add the City Amateur at the following weekend. So I'll have to run it by my wife, see if I can play 3 straight weekends. That'd be tough. But but then after that, that's pretty much all I have. We'll have the kids play free benefit tournament at the hosting. But, I mean, that's just for charity, but it's a great cause.
If you keep winning, you might have a better chance of getting in all those tournaments, just saying.
That's true. That's a good point.
When you ask her, I hope you're not as nervous as a cat in a room full of rocking chairs. maybe she'll let you roll. Josh, we appreciate it. Hey, by the way, what are your thoughts on we've got a couple of Tennessee players. Jake Hall and Caleb Surratt shot 63 in qualifying, one at Oak Ridge and one at Three Ridges. That's pretty darn impressive to get into the Knoxville Open, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I don't know Caleb, but I'll say this about Jake. Nobody works harder than he is. I mean, him and actually Jake and Ryan both are not related, but both of them are just tremendous guys. I really wish they would have gave Ryan the sponsor exemption, in my opinion. But even though I know he's in a playoff as we speak.
Yeah.
He's currently on the playing number 16 again. So, Jake is in, and I'm just so proud of him. I'll be out there this week to watch him, and I just hope he does well.
Josh, thank you for joining us. I really do appreciate it. Congratulations on winning the Beaverbrook Invitational. Good job.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Josh.
And Josh, by the way, is our Knox Area Player of the Week. Now, our interview with him is brought to you by Willow Creek. Willow Creek's one of the top public courses in East Tennessee. It has hosted the Knoxville Open, the Tennessee State Open, U.S. Open qualifying. To make a tee time, call 675-0100. It's also the home of the Willow Creek Invitational. Now, as far as our Player of the Week, that's from Donnie Dean Cosmetic Dentistry. Don't lose time on the golf course because of your bad crown. Go see Dr. Donnie Dean for your CEREC one-day crown and enjoy more time playing golf. So I went with Josh Collins as our Knox Area Player of the Week, but Braxton, I have to give honorable mention to Caleb Surratt and Jake Hall, don't I?
Yeah, absolutely. But Josh is definitely deserving one of our great local tournaments. Very cool to win that one, and congrats to him.
All right, let's go ahead and get our golf tip. And our golf tip is brought to you by Fairways and Greens, which is where Braxton works. Practice made perfect. They handle club fitting. They also have the top tracer to illustrate your distance, apex, and curve. And you can play virtually on several world-famous courses. Call 777-GOLF. That's 777-4653. All right, our golf tip. So as we watch more and more PGA tournaments, we see them set up drivable par fours. Now, some of them will lay up and then take a sandwich and knock it in there. Some will go for it. But, Braxton, I want to get your take on this. What factors do you consider when you try to go for a drivable par four? I wonder about the trouble around the green, how accurate are you as a driver, how good of a driver are you, how good of a wedge player you might be. What are the factors you think about that determine whether you go for that drivable par four or lay up?
Well, first off, Jimmy, I must say the drivable par four is my favorite hole design made. And I think one of the best drivable par fours in not only our area, the state or the region or even the country is 16 at Holston. And it has that element of making you want to hit driver to have a chance to get up or around the green to have a nice little pitch or chip shot to get it up and down. But depending on the condition, it has some, we'll say, risk to an errant tee shot. So if you miss hit it, those two front bunkers come into play. If you hit it right or left, the hay or the out of bounds comes into play. So there's, you know, say if you're not driving it as well that day, you might lay back, give yourself a, we'll say, somewhat easy wedge shot, even though it's not the easiest wedge shot in the world either, to maybe, we'll say, mitigate the risk of the drive. So I think it depends on the strength in your game. I think it depends on the hole location sometimes on certain courses and certain holes. You know, the 14th hole at Oak Hill there at the PGA Championship was a phenomenal drivable par four because in the third round they had the pin on the front, and as you notice, there was quite a few players that laid up to be able to get enough spin on a wedge shot to get it close to the hole, unless they had, you know, extreme power and could get it all the way up to the front of the green or the past the hole. And then the last day, the pin was in the back, and almost virtually everybody hit driver. I didn't notice anybody laying up on Sunday, so that was kind of the, you know, hole location dependent. The new, we'll say, analytic age of golf, it would tell everybody to go for it and kind of get the ball as close to the hole as possible. You're going to get it as close to the hole from close as you are far back. I think it's situational. I think kind of my description of 16 at Holston, you know, there's numerous other great drivable par fours, not only in our area, but around the kind of region that kind of expose, we'll say, weaknesses or flaws in somebody's game, or you can make a birdie or eagle. So it's kind of a cool, you know, 15 at, the Three Ridges is a good example. I mean, it has the three ridges. I think, you know, if I'm not mistaken, I think that's the signature hole because of the three ridges. And you have, if you hit a good drive, a chance to get it up there on or around the green. But if you don't, there's trouble lurking on both sides. So it's kind of a cool, you know, I just love those kind of holes.
All right, that's our golf tip, and that is brought to you by Fairways and Greens. When we come back, we've got an interview from Patrick Nickel. He's executive director of the Visit Knoxville Open and had some interesting comments to say about the tournament, about the field, about the sponsor exemptions. And one thing he said, I hope that we return to Knoxville for another 30 years. Knoxville's one of only four original sites on what was in the Hogan Tour. And so it's been, and there have been a couple of rough patches along the way, but they got it going well right now, and they got a great venue out at Hoston Hills. So we'll hear from Patrick Nickel when we return. I'm Jimmy Himes along with Braxton Hunter. You're listening to Golf Talk.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville?
Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So I mean, that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Welcome back to Golf Talk with Braxton Hunter. I'm Jimmy Himes. The Visit Knoxville Open is coming up. It starts on Thursday, a pro-am today. They got a pro-am on Wednesday, and they got a great field that's coming in. We visited with Patrick Nickel. He's executive director of the tournament, to talk to him about the tournament, the field, about Hoston Hills. Here's our conversation with Patrick Nickel. I'm with Patrick Nickel, the tournament executive director. Patrick, how you doing?
I'm good. Looking forward to a great week.
Well, Knoxville has hosted this event every year since 1990, going back to the Hogan Tour. How has Knoxville been able to sustain this?
Well, we've certainly had our up and downs over the years, and you look back, and Patrick Birmingham with the new Sentinel back in 2011 was a big driving force when we thought it might go away, and then Kim Bumpus and Chad Culver with Visit Knoxville stepped in when, you know, there was a change of direction in the newspaper business, and we hope to continue for another 30 years.
Well, and it's one of only four from that original 1990 Hogan Tour, so that says a lot about Knoxville.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, Wichita, Boise, Idaho, and Springfield, Missouri are the other three, and all four markets are very proud of their history.
This is the third year it's been at Hoston Hills. I've heard a lot of nice comments from the players. Why do the players like Hoston Hills so much?
You know, it's just a great classic golf course. Everything's right in front of you. There aren't any tricks. You know, hit the fairway, keep the ball below the hole, and stay out of the bunkers. And it sounds simple, but it's a great test for these guys.
Now, the let's go through the schedule. So Monday, a pro-am, and then Tuesday, is there a kids clinic, or what are you doing on Tuesday?
No, Tuesday is a practice day for the players, and then Wednesday's a pro-am, and we have a nine-hole junior at Williams Creek, where one of the first tee kids gets to play with one of the pros. It's turned out to be a great event. It's one of the few events I've ever done where a pro said nine holes was not enough. We should be playing 18.
That's pretty cool. So sponsor exemptions. I want to go through that list. Wes Roach, a Knoxville product. Talk about Wes.
Yeah, Wes has been a good friend of mine and a good friend of the tournament for a long time. And he reached out to me back in February and said he wants to, you know, give it a go again. Would we be able to, you know, give him an opportunity? And that was the quickest yes I've given in a long time. Great kid, and certainly pulling for him this week. Braden Thornberry, we've known for a long time, former NCAA champion from Ole Miss. Great kid, has some Tennessee roots, and we felt like he was an excellent pick for an unrestricted pick. And then who's our third?
Boo Weekly.
Well, Boo, without saying. I mean, Boo has been a dear friend of mine for a long time. He's getting ready to go on the Champions Tour. He ought to play very well here because it's a ball striking golf course.
Yeah.
So I think Boo will play well. And obviously, you know, one of the challenges on the Corn Ferry Tour is we don't have a lot of name recognition. So to be able to have Boo here and promote him will certainly be good for the tournament.
And then there's Spencer Cross, a local product, played at the University of Tennessee.
Yeah, and that was an easy one too. When Spencer reached out to us, and with what he had done at UT and all he's doing in the Gatlinburg, Sevierville, Pigeon Forge area. And, you know, we talked to Brendan Webb, UT's coach, and he said he's one of the finest young men I've ever been around. And so that was a slam dunk, too.
Winter kill impacted a lot of golf courses around the country. It hit Holston Hills as well, but it looks like it's in pretty good shape right now. What are your thoughts on the conditions?
You know, I just was with Jordan Harris, our advanced rules official, and he said it'll probably be the best course our guys have played to date. Ryan Blair's done a fantastic job with the golf course. I've played several places in Middle Tennessee as well that have really, really struggled, and clubs that have the resources to fix what needs to be fixed. The problem was Mother Nature won, and it's just going to take time, and there's some decisions to be made. But Holston is far and away the best course in Tennessee condition-wise that I've played this spring.
The PGA Championship concluded on Sunday. And, Patrick, you can't watch a PGA Championship, a major, or a PGA tournament without seeing a whole lot of folks that came through the Korn Ferry Tour, which says a lot about this tour.
Yeah, I think the number's close to 84-85% now of all the players out there that came through here. And in a sense, it's a little like minor league baseball. You're seeing the stars of tomorrow. You just don't know who they are right now. And you look back at the history of this tournament and all the people that have played here, it's really phenomenal.
This is the third year at Holston Hills. You said you'd want to be here another 30 years. Do you have a situation at Holston where you're going to be here for a while? Do you know yet?
Well, I hope so. We've got two more years on our current agreement, and obviously I think we'll start discussing the future following this year's tournament. But, you know, Chris Dibble and his staff are great to work with. I think the tour is very happy with Holston. We're certainly very happy with Holston. Visit Knoxville's happy with Holston. And usually when you got everybody that's pretty happy, you find a way to get a deal done.
Yeah, I was sitting there watching Oak Hill in Rochester, New York, a Donald Ross course. There are Donald Ross courses all over the place. This just looks like a gem to me, to have Knoxville, to have a Donald Ross course, which I'm sure, as you talked about earlier, the players really have enjoyed.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got Fazio, Pete Dye, Donald Ross, Alistair McKenzie. I mean, you know, he's one of the top five designers of all time. And this is really, truly one of the classic courses that he's designed. It's had very little done to it over the years. And you read a lot about restorations, people that made changes that are trying to go back and get it the way it was. Well, we're very fortunate they've left it the way it was. And it's one of the reasons why it's a great tournament golf course.
Patrick, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Jimmy.
That's Patrick Nichol, and mentioning this is the third year of the five-year deal. They moved it by 1 week from last couple of years in May, and there's also some thought about maybe trying to move it to August. I don't know if they'll do that. Certainly the rough would be a bigger factor at that time if they do it. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, but looks like this tournament should be here for a long time, and it's well supported as well.
Yeah, and I think also just the McConnell aspect with Holston Hills. I think, you know, he has the other web or the other Korn Ferry Tour event in
Carolina.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'm blanking on it right now at the TPC Wakefield, and then also the Wyndham Championship on the PGA Tour. So I do believe they like having those events, and I feel like it's been fairly supported from the members. Very, very positive comments for the most part from a lot of the members that I know, and they're very excited to have the tournament and, you know, all the stuff that comes with that. So I think it's here to stay, and it's good to have it out there, no question.
All right, so at Three Ridges, we mentioned earlier, Jake Hall, University of Tennessee golfer, local product, shot 63. Will Nottingham from Kingsport with a 65. He's advanced in the playoff. He birdied number 16 at Three Ridges in that playoff. Wes Holman of Ohio advanced. And then Ryan Hall, who's from Knoxville, played at South Carolina. He is in a playoff that is extended. So we'll try to keep you update on whether Ryan Hall gets in. At Oak Ridge, it was Caleb Surratt, Tennessee freshman golfer, with a 63. And there are four that shot a 64, so they're in a playoff. The four golfers for three spots at Oak Ridge. So we will see what happens there. All right, let's get to our pro news and notes. That's brought to you by Holston Hills Country Club. With memberships tailored to families, to corporations, residents, and non-residents, a membership at Holston Hills brings together families, friends, and colleagues for sport and kinship. Home of this week's Korn Ferry Tour event. You can find out more by going to holstonhills.com. I list of topics each week for us. Some we get to, some we don't. One of my topics that I've had on here for a few weeks, there are 12 players that have won five majors, at least five majors. Who's the next one to get to five? Will it be Rory McIlroy or John Rahm or Jordan Spieth or Brooks Koepka? And now we know.
Yeah.
It's Brooks Koepka.
You don't have to ask the question.
That's right.
He got there.
He's got five of them. He's got two U.S. Opens, three PGAs. He's actually won three of his majors in New York, interestingly enough. I was texting back and forth with my brother, and he said the Brooks Koepka will fade like he did in the Masters because it's 72 holes. I took Koepka because I thought, no, he's not going to fade two in a row. And he didn't. I thought he played superbly. He had a hiccup or two along the way, which at Oak Hill you're going to have. But he shoots 9-under. He had a final round 67. He shot rounds of 72, 66, 66, 67. That one of the hiccups came on number, I guess it was six, when he drove it into a hazard. He ended up making a bogey there. But he birdied 2, 3, and 4. And then he made a couple of key birdies at 12 and 14, where he drove the green. He made a birdie on 15, had a four-shot lead at that point. That was a game, set, match, in my opinion. Koepka in the PGA since 2015. He's finished 5th, 4th, 13th, 1, 1, 29th, 2nd, 55th, and then he won again. The most PGA titles, Jack Nicklaus and Walter Hagen with 5 each, Tiger with 4, Sarazen, Snead, and Koepka with 3 each. But in medal play, stroke play, Koepka and Jack and Tiger are the only ones that have won 3 PGA events. Your impression on Koepka's performance?
I mean, really incredible. I think I'm not surprised. You know, I had somebody actually at church on Sunday morning ask me who I thought would win, and I didn't hesitate saying Koepka. I just felt that when he's in that position, and I think the Masters was kind of one of the, I'd say, I didn't expect what happened in the Masters. Let's just say that.
Right.
I think what happened at the PGA with his history with leading and being in the major championships, I think it was just inevitable that he was going to win. And what a great performance. I mean, he did what you have to do at a major championship style golf course. And I think, you know, having won the PGA already twice, I think he had some comfort in that championship as well. I think just knowing that he had done it before and drawing off some of the previous feelings in that.
After round three, he said, I'm not going to do the same thing I did at the Masters. He was asked, well, what was it? And he wouldn't say.
Yeah.
Now, I think there might have been a different mentality. I wonder if maybe at the Masters he got too conservative and didn't play his game. I think this time he thought, hey, I'm going to play my game. I'm going to be more aggressive. I'll take my chances when they're there, but I'm not going to sit on it. I don't know if that's the different mentality, but that's the impression I got.
Yeah, and I mean, if you go back and think about the round at the Masters, he just didn't drive it very well. He had to pitch out a lot, and I don't know if mentality really has a ton to do with that. It's just one of those days that he didn't, you know, just didn't have his best stuff. And yesterday he did, and he got up and down when he needed to and just played phenomenal golf.
So he was 4th in driving distance and in driving accuracy, 27th in greens and regulation, 2nd in scrambling. Victor Hovland, I thought, played really well. This was so bizarre for me to watch, Braxton. On number 16, he drives it in the bunker to the right, takes a 9-iron out, and basically looks like he blades it right into the lip. He ends up making a double bogey. It's the same darn thing that Corey Connors did the day before.
I was going to say, that's the craziest part, is this basically an exact replica of the shot that Corey Connors hit the day before. And I don't know, with the way they redid those bunkers, if there was just some softness to that face or kind of what made that particular shot stick in there. Because a lot of times when you hit the grass lip, it'll kind of just pop it up in the air and it'll either jump out of the bunker or just kind of fall back in the bunker. But both of those times, it sure did not. It just right into that face.
They were so low. I mean, both of them hit like at the bottom part of the grass area. Didn't, if they had hit at the top part, maybe it does,
yeah,
you know, trickle over. But my goodness.
It, maybe they had more of a downhill lie than it looked like on TV. Like, it looked like they were both on the flat of the bunker, and that's strange to hit a nine iron in that case, that low, you know, that low launching and not get it up and out. So that was kind of strange for sure.
All right, we talked earlier about Michael Block. He shoots one over par, the PGA Professional out of California. He's got the sponsor exemption into the Colonial this week. He earned $288,000, made that incredible hole-in-one on number 15, got a big hug from Rory McIlroy. Block didn't see it go in, and it was Rory that told him that he had made an ace. That's his first ace in his career in competition. So just a great story there. Here's who he beat. He beat Justin Thomas, John Rahm, Jordan Spieth, Adam Scott, Keegan Bradley, Dustin Johnson, Phil Mickelson, Tony Finau. That's who he beat.
Yeah, pretty good list.
And then, and how about this? After the round, Koepka walks by to Block and he said, "Hey, I hear you're buying drinks."
Yeah.
For that hole in one. So what a great moment.
So great. And I think, you know, it's just the best part about golf. I mean, it's one of the cool stories of the, like I said earlier, just kind of the entire year, if not multiple years in a sense, and just, you know, it changed the guy's life. I mean, everybody knows who he is. They do a special on the Today Show on him this morning.
Did
I mean,
really?
Yeah, I mean, just, it's a cool aspect to our wonderful game, no question.
So the Korn Ferry Tour events coming to Knoxville, it was in Kansas City. Grayson Murray won it with Kip Henley on the bag at 19 under. Rico Joy, who's in the field here, was second. Wilson Furr tied for second with him. He's in the field here. David Skins tied for ninth. He's not playing here. Don't know why. Former Tennessee golfer was 12 under par. He shot 66, 68, 72, and 70. Murray has won on the PGA Tour and the Korn Ferry Tour. He actually made double bogey on the last hole, but he was still able to get it into the clubhouse to get the win. So visit Knoxville Open coming up this weekend. Braxton Hunter?
Ryan Hall got in.
Good for Ryan Hall.
Just got the info.
And that'll do it for Golf Talk.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing to say.
Congratulations.
Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time.
Yep.
Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.